people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for tuning in once again to the radio show. My name's JD. We are live right now. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast on your very favorite network for truth and alternative information, Truth Frequency Radio. I would highly recommend, if you guys are hearing my voice and it's sunshiny outside, if you're in America, that means we're live. You can go to Truth Frequency Radio and hop into the chat room. So many great listeners showing up every morning in there. Just cannot thank you guys enough. It's so nice. It's kind of like a little family here at TFR. And I got to be honest, Kev Baker in the chat room already this morning. I don't know when this guy sleeps, but I can't tell you guys how much I appreciate the support that we get from his show and all the other hosts here on the network. Man, this is just such a great thing to be a part of. Really can't think of a better way to spend my day every day, guys, than being here with you. I want to say also today is the 16th day of April. That makes it officially a Thursday. So we're almost through the week, you guys. We're almost through the week. I hope you guys are having a good week so far. I hope you guys are kind of starting to think about gearing up for the weekend. We've only got one more day of the hostage crisis situation to deal with, guys, and then we're going to be home free. Want to highly recommend, too, that you guys spend some time checking out some of the other hosts on the network. I hope you guys just heard Jim Ram's show that just was on before my show. What an amazing guy Jim is. I hope you guys enjoyed our conversation yesterday. Just so much good stuff going on here on the network. We do have a lot of news to get to today. For new listeners out there, that's usually what we do. We go over the news from around the world in the first hour, and then the second hour, we always bring you a fantastically amazing guest today. Will be no exception, as usual. Deborah Tavares is going to be joining us in about an hour. Deborah Tavares is a long-standing opponent of Agenda 21 and all of its multiple facets. She has many websites and does an incredible amount of research, ladies and gentlemen, probably one of the most well-documented researchers on the internet. And we are privileged beyond the word humble to be welcoming Deborah Tavares to the show once again. So get your pens and papers ready and be ready, because she's a mind blower, ladies and gentlemen. I honestly believe that. And I don't know where else you can get information like hers other than here. So I'm really appreciate you guys being here for that today. Tell your friends, get people involved, because they're going to want to be involved with this conversation. Also tomorrow, Sivan Bomar III will be joining us. Again, I'm keeping this one tight to the chest, ladies and gentlemen, because I really want you guys to go check out his website, astralquest.com. Amazing, amazing guy. We're talking about self-empowerment through the use of frequency. We're going to go way woo, way early on Friday tomorrow. Really excited about all of that as well. As I said, we do have a lot of news to get to. And if you want to go over to redpillreports.com, you can check out the show section, learn everything you need to know about Deborah Tavares. And then underneath that, you will also see all of the news that we have aggregated from around the world just in the last 24 hours, trying to keep you guys up to date on kind of what's going on out there in the world. So I'm going to have to go on here on just a tiny bit of a rant this morning, just for a second. I apologize in advance. So probably we'll cut a little bit into the news today. But I do have some important science and tech stuff, and we have some important health stuff. So people in the chat, yell at me if I start getting too long-winded here kind of towards the middle of the show, and I'll put a little hitch in my get-along. Anyway, I got to make a plea this morning, ladies and gentlemen, and I haven't done this before, and I really, really hate doing it. I'm not somebody, if you were to ask my friends, I'm not really somebody who would go out of my way to ask other people for help. But the name of the game here at Truth Frequency is listener-supported, guys, and that's kind of how we do things. You know, we don't have any corporate support. We don't have any sponsors or anything like that, and it does take a lot of time to put together a radio show every single day. So I just kind of wanted to put a plea out there, not only for myself, but also for all of the other hosts on the network. There's so many hosts, and everybody is doing this work basically on a shoestring budget wearing penny loafers. I mean, that's really the long and the short of it. So if you could find it in your heart, here's what I'm asking really. Essentially is that everybody just takes a second and understands that if you guys make a donation to the network, first of all, that's outstanding. Really appreciate the way that Chris and Cherie have built this network. There's no commercial breaks to speak of for the most part. You get a fantastic forum to actually get real quality information from some of these guests, and all of these other hosts just work so hard. So I do want to encourage people to support the radio network as well. But also the individual hosts. I'm sure a lot of the hosts out there, I mean, I don't know what you guys do with your days, but I am completely glued to TFR from here on out, man. Kev Baker's show, Joe's show, Phoenix's show, even Robert Bruce's show has really grown on me the last couple weeks. I love listening to Robert Bruce at this point. Popeye, obviously a living legend, Mel and Aaron, soon to be Mel and Aaron, which is going to be amazing too. Those guys could all use support. Any of the hosts that you feel like you want to continue to hear, I really just want to encourage you guys to do whatever you can to help them out, because, you know, you're going to have much more far-reaching effects than just your little donation and just helping us keep the internet going and things like that. Because, you know, by helping the individual hosts out, you help all of us pay our bills. We keep the forum open, and we can continue to bring guests like we do to the show every day. I mean, just for our network, or for our show, bringing people like Deborah Tavares or John Perkins or Gerald Celente. I mean, these are really, really high water marks for our network and for our show. And we really appreciate the fact that those guests take time out to come and express the things that they want to express to you guys. So in order to keep that whole thing going, we got to kind of ramp up the listener support aspect, because I do not want to take on any corporate sponsors or do anything else like that. So anything that you guys can do to help us, help any of the other hosts, please help all of the network. Anything you guys can do will make a huge effect here in this alternative news stream arena. And that's it. That's all I wanted to say. Just basically asking for help here, guys. And anything you guys can do to help us or the other hosts or the network will be very, very appreciated. Appreciated. That's what I'm saying right now. Okay. That's my rant for the morning. Appreciate you guys all being here. Let's hop into the international news. Not a whole lot going on in major, major stories, but we do have a lot of little stuff to talk about here today. Turkish officials actually announced yesterday that security forces in Turkey deported 8 British citizens from the airport there back to Britain after receiving intelligence that they were trying to join ISIS in Iraq and Syria. So this unnamed Turkish official was quoted by Anatolia, which is a news organization there in Turkey, as saying that the deportation of these people occurred in response to credible intelligence that they were seeking to join ISIS in Iraq or Syria. So incidentally, 3 days ago, Turkish authorities deported the son of British Labour Council member Ahmed Wahid. He was 21, and he was arrested with 8 other people, including 4 children, in the Turkish province of Hayet for also trying to join the terrorist organization ISIS. Again, this was the son of the British Labour Council Minister Ahmed Wahid. He was 21 years old, arrested last week in Turkey, trying to join the ISIS organization. So there you go. That's what's going on in your ISIS situation. It was kind of a weird situation in the ECB yesterday. I'm sorry. Yeah, the ECB. Mario Draghi, he's obviously the president of the ECB. He was apparently attacked by a protester yesterday during a regular press conference. And attacked, I think, is a little bit too dramatic of a word, but a woman jumped on the table where Mr. Draghi was sitting at the beginning of his interest rate press conference on Wednesday. She started to yell things like "end ECB dictatorship," and she had a similar phrase written on her t-shirt, and then she threw a big handful of confetti at Mr. Draghi. So I don't know if attack seems like it's a little bit extreme of a word. But again, I like seeing stuff like this because people are pissed, and people should be pissed. You know, it's time to start doing something. I don't know if confetti or throwing a shoe at somebody is going to get your point across. But, you know, not complying. Everybody joining arms and just saying no to the whole shebang, I think, is the bottom line angle here, guys. The more we team up together and just say, you know, this is all too ridiculous to continue, and we're just not going to allow it to. That's quicker. Quicker we'll bring all this thing to an end, I believe. Let's move on to Iran. Right now we're talking about the situation in Yemen. Iran has proposed now a peaceful solution to the crisis in Yemen. They are calling for a ceasefire on the ground and an end to the airstrikes led by the Saudi-led coalition against the Houthi rebels. And these are, of course, ostensibly Tehran's allies in the region, and the plan is expected to be submitted to the UN this week. So the Iranian foreign minister, Mohammad Zarif, said that the peace plan involves a truce, humanitarian aid, and dialogue between the factions of the Yemeni conflict, and also a broad-based government friendly to all of its neighbors. So again, here we see more evidence of Iran just absolutely trying to warmonger through the region. We've already seen them taking over control of their own capital violently, as Tom Cotton was eloquent enough to point out the other day. So just more indications that Iran, obviously this whole story is fabrication, because we all know that Iran is the most evil country on the face of the earth. So clearly them calling for a ceasefire because they don't want bombs being dropped on their allies in Yemen, probably some sort of cover here. I can only imagine they want to sneak in and blow the whole place up or something. I don't know. We'll have to defer back to Tom Cotton and all of his intelligence to figure out what's going on there. Speaking of intelligence, the Russian Security Council, so again, this is coming from the Russian Security Council, so don't take it necessarily at face value, but I think there's probably usually where there's smoke, there's fire, so this story is probably fairly accurate. Apparently, opium production in Afghanistan has grown 40-fold, 40-0, in the 13 years of U.S. Operation Enduring Freedom, according to the head of the Russian Security Council, and this intervention has exacerbated existing problems rather than solved them, according to him. So at the same time, the aims of introducing foreign military to Afghanistan, including the destruction of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, were not accomplished. He added that during the same speech. Again, the head of the Russian Security Council saying this. His name is Putrashev, and according to him, Afghan extremist organizations benefit from lax law enforcement and use their positions in northern Afghanistan to enter neighboring countries in Central Asia. And he stressed that the situation in Afghanistan is one of the crucial factors in building stability in the Central Asian region. So is it surprising that Afghanistan still remains the homeland for the largest opium poppy production and distribution network in the world? It does happen to supply to this day more than 90% of the global crop. And I have talked to many, many troops who are in Afghanistan, and I'll tell you what, you bring up the opium trade and they get offended. They really want to believe that they were over there doing something other than guarding the $600 billion a year opium industry for the CIA. But all you really have to do is go back and look at what happened in Laos. Remember, Laos is that country that has had more bombs dropped on it than any other nation in the history of the planet and has never actually seen a war. But the CIA definitely set up camp there during the raging war against Vietnam so that we could fund our little covert drug activities and things like that. So this is not necessarily an exception to the rule here, ladies and gentlemen. This is, in fact, the rule. So, okay, moving on. Speaking of Cuba here, China no longer wants Cuba to be listed as a state sponsor of terrorism, according to the White House. So its removal from the state terrorism list is a key step in Barack Obama's plan to normalize the relationships between the United States and Cuba. So Obama submitted this report and certification documents to Congress that are legally required to officially remove Cuba as a state sponsor of terrorism to the White House National Security Council yesterday. So again, Obama's decision came after the State Department reviewed Cuba's presence on the list, according to AP, and the U.S. has not actively accused Cuba of supporting terrorism for years. So this move to clear Cuba from the state sponsor of terrorism list comes just 2 days after a historic meeting between Obama and the Cuban President Raul Castro on Saturday at the Summit of the Americas in Panama City, Panama. It was the first meeting of the leaders from the two countries in more than 50 years since before the Cuban Revolution, in which Castro's brother Fidel Castro overthrew the Cuban government in 1959. I am super ready to go to Cuba. I don't know about you guys, but I have this feeling in my heart that it is just absolutely beautiful there, and I want to take a vacation. And I do, in fact, like a cigar now and again. So there you go. News out of Japan right now. Japan's nuclear reactors are going to remain closed, according to court rulings that just came out yesterday. So 4 years after the Fukushima nuclear disaster, a Japanese court has blocked the restarting of two other nuclear reactors in the western city of Takahama, in case that could complicate Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's push to return to atomic energy. So the reactor has already obtained approval from the NRA, the National Regulation Authority, But locals raised safety concerns, and they asked the Fukai District Court to intervene, saying that Takahama would not withstand a strong earthquake. So this landmark injunction could mean months, if not years, of delays and hundreds of millions of dollars in losses for the two utilities. And in response to the injunction, the country's nuclear watchdog said that it saw no need to revise the current regulatory standards, which it signaled as a lack of rationality by the Fuki court. So again, the people who are on board with this anti-nuclear activity going on in Japan right now are very, very happy about this injunction. So all of Japan's 48 commercial reactors are remaining offline following the 2011 Fukushima disaster, which has forced the island nation to import greater amounts of expensive natural gas and coal to meet its energy needs. Before the nuclear disaster caused by the massive quake and tsunami, allegedly, about 30% of Japan's power was nuclear generated. So again, big news. If you're in Japan right now, no new nuclear power for you, and they're not going to turn the old plants on. So there you go. Dozens of people have apparently drowned off of the coast of Sicily in the latest sinking of a migrant boat between Libya and Italy, according to Italian media reports. Almost 10,000 migrants have been rescued trying to reach the Italian coast in recent days, and hundreds have died since the start of the year. Italy has called for more help from the European Union in handling the crisis, and earlier this week, about 400 people were believed to have drowned when their boat capsized. So the foreign minister of Italy said that he had not received an adequate response from the EU, but the EU has said there is no silver bullet for the problems of thousands of migrants trying to reach Europe. So another tragic situation there off the coast of Italy. Not good. And here I got to do a story for all my kids in the UK. I would appreciate it if you guys would get involved with this one. McDonald's, not alone. Or not only are they an awful, awful organization, just generally speaking, but they have a branch in the Leeds City Center. So if you are in the city of Leeds, I'd like you guys to get involved with this. McDonald's apparently has now installed the metal anti-homeless spikes outside of its branch in Leeds City Center. And people are saying, obviously, it's there to prevent homeless people from being able to sleep. So there has been a petition set up and signed by more than 70,000 people across the world demanding that the fast food giant removes its spikes and that deter the homeless people from sleeping outside of one of its restaurants. McDonald's claims that the spikes were installed a couple of years ago in an attempt to stop antisocial behavior and not targeting the homeless. But again, we've seen these anti-homeless spikes popping up all over the world, and usually they don't last 2 years. I'm pretty surprised that a spokesman for McDonald's says these have been up for this long. So if you're in Leeds or if you're in the UK or you want to go and try and get track down this petition, to me, this is just another disgusting display of anti-humanitarian, agenda from an organization that should be fully humanitarian, right? We're talking about McDonald's. They love everybody. So anyway, if you're in Leeds, go give them a big fist shake in their face, because I just, that makes me disgusted. Okay, let's hop on to some national news right now, moving over into the states. On Monday this week, both chambers of the Tennessee General Assembly voted to pass a bill that would block the state from participating in the implementation and enforcement of federal gun measures that violate Tennessee's constitution. So this Tennessee 10th Amendment Center noted that this proposal, State Bill 1110, which was sponsored by State Senator Richard Briggs, and its House companion bill, the House Bill 1341, introduced by State Representative Terry Weaver, now that State Bill 1110 has passed through the Tennessee legislature, it is headed to Governor Haslam's desk for consideration, and Haslam has 10 days to consider the bill, after which time it automatically becomes law unless he chooses to veto it. The bill's summary states that no public funds, personal or property, may be used to enforce any federal law or regulation that regulates the ownership, the use, or the possession of firearms, ammunition, or firearm accessories if the expenditure or use of the personal or property would result in the violation of another Tennessee statute, Tennessee common law, or the Constitution of Tennessee. So again, the Tennessee Firearms Association pointed out the fact that the Tennessee Constitution does not mention the word militia when it speaks of the rights to keep, bear, and wear arms. It speaks of the individual rights of the citizens of the state to keep and bear arms. So there you go. So this proposal to block federal gun control measures prevailed unanimously in the Tennessee Senate by a vote of 74 to 20. and in the state's House of Representatives, again, unanimously in the Tennessee Senate and by a vote of 74-20 in the House of Representatives. So again, another state marching into the future, while my state languishes in the background. Fantastic news. Here's a goofy story you guys probably have already heard a little bit about, but, I wanted to wait and see if there was actually more information being fleshed out about this. This story comes out of Denver, and a CBS 4 investigation has learned that two Transportation Security Administration screeners at the Denver International Airport have been fired after they were discovered manipulating passenger screening systems to allow a male TSA employee to fondle the genital areas of attractive male passengers. You think I could make stuff like this up? I can't. This is just another reason never to go to the airport, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, it happened roughly a dozen times, according to information gathered by CBS4. According to law enforcement reports obtained during the investigation, a male TSA screener told a female colleague in 2014 that he gropes male passengers who come through the screening area at Denver International. He related that when a male he finds attractive comes to the screening area to be screened by the screening machine, he will alert another TSA screener to indicate that the scanning computer something's wrong with it, right? So the screener does that, then the screening machine will indicate an anomaly in the genital area, and it allows the male TSA screener to conduct a pat-down search of that area. Okay, here's what they're doing. They're basically messing with the scanning computer, and they're saying if it's a guy who's going through, they're saying it's a woman. That's the part that I missed there. So they're actually saying, hey, this is going to be a woman that you're getting ready to scan. Obviously, when they scan it, and there's something in the, private bits area that shouldn't be there on a woman, the screener kind of goes, oh, hey, we got a problem here. And that then allows the TSA screener to go and do a thorough pat down of whoever it was. Just disgusting. I just don't even know what to say about this, but I had to point it out. Denver International Airport, if you're an attractive guy and has been to the Denver International Airport region recently and maybe felt a little bit violated, I don't know. Is there room there for some kind of class action lawsuit? I would be offended. But I don't go to airports. And I guess, anyway, I digress. Let's talk about this too, since we're on the subject of goofy law enforcement. This story comes out of Philadelphia, and I was laughing when I was reading this. A disgraced ex-police officer who is testifying currently against his drug squad colleagues acknowledged earlier this week that he stole drug money, planted evidence, and lied on police paperwork, quote unquote, too many times to count. Jeffrey Walker told jurors in the Philadelphia Police Department drug squad that they targeted white college boys and the khaki pant types who were easy to intimidate. And this matches the description of some of the drug dealers who have testified at the 6-week police corruption trial that the squad stole as much as $110,000 at sometimes during violent no warrant raids. And the lead defendant, Thomas Lisiardello, told always got a cut of the stolen money, apparently, while the other officers split jobs that they worked on, according to Walker. And the city's police brass often celebrated the squad's work with splashy news conferences about large seizures. More than 160 drug convictions have been overturned since Walker pleaded guilty and others were named in the 26-count indictment. Scores of civil rights lawsuits are pending after the arrests, and the police commissioner, Charles Ramsey, has voiced his disgust with the squad's alleged crimes while continuing his effort to clean out and reform the 7,000-member department. So getting into this just a little bit, Walker, who was 46, said he first stole money as a uniformed patrolman when he chased a drug dealer into a house and spotted a large bag of cash on top of the refrigerator. He said, I've never seen that much money, and I took some money and I put it in my jacket pocket. Walker had nearly 24 years in the service when he was arrested in an FBI sting back in 2013. He was making $119,000 a year, and he was also padding his overtime for court appearances and undercover work. This illicit drug money apparently provided even more gravy. So Walker and the other defendant were also known as the Twin Towers, and they were often assigned to go and rough people up as well. And one of the more memorable assignments, Norman, leaned drug suspect Michael Cassielli over a high-rise balcony to elicit the passcode for his Palm Pilot, according to Walker, who was also there to help scare the suspect. So we're talking about like full-on mafia activity here going on at the drug squad in Philadelphia. It's just unbelievable. And the story goes on and on. I'll kind of digress away from it here. But here's another episode. Walker actually admitted to carrying a heavy safe full of money down 17 flights of stairs to be avoided being seen by elevator security cameras. He also described another heist in which he stuffed so much cash into his policed vest that he had to wear his partner's vest over his vest just to cover the bulges. So, man, sounds like great work if you can get it. He was actually arrested after the FBI caught him stealing $15,000 from a suspect and also planting drugs on his car. It's a good thing that could never happen here in America. Oh, never mind. Also, moving on to things that just make me kind of bummed out here. Joan Cheever is in the news right now. She's a founder of a nonprofit mobile truck known as the Chow Train. And she got cited last week by San Antonio police officers for feeding the homeless again in Maverick Park. So we see again the threat of humanity being too much for law enforcement to bear there in San Antonio. So Cheever has been serving restaurant quality meals to the city's homeless population for the last 10 years. And she's also been profiled on Rachel Ray's cooking show for her charitable efforts. And over the years, police officers have passed by and waved at her as she has fed homeless people. But last Tuesday, four bike patrol officers stopped in the park and gave Cheever a ticket that carries a potential fine of up to $2,000. She does have a food permit for her mobile truck, but she was cited for transporting and serving the food from a vehicle other than that truck. She's scheduled to go before the municipal court on June 23rd, but she is remaining defiant after receiving the citation, arguing that under the 1999 Texas Religious Freedom Restoration Act, she has the right to serve food to the homeless because she considers it a free exercise of her religion. And I love that. I want to encourage people. She does have a Facebook page. I think if you just go look for Chow Train on Facebook, give her some words of encouragement. Don't let the man just beat these people down that are out there trying to do the right thing for humanity. And maybe if you're down in San Antonio, I don't know, join her crew, go out one night a week and help her do her thing, because you'll feel a lot better about life. You know, there's nothing like giving to others that can't do for themselves to make you feel better about yourself. And I know that may be selfish, but man, if everybody were to do that, if everybody were to pay some love forward, what a world we could create. You know what I mean? Man, just good stuff. Really appreciate you guys being here with me this morning. We're getting ready to hop up onto this quick 3-minute break. Full chat room right now. Appreciate you guys being in there. We have got a lot more news to cover when I get back. I got some health stuff that is going to follow up on the stuff that we talked about with Jim Ram. You guys will not believe how much United States, just the United States, spends every year on pharmaceutical drugs. It will boggle your mind. We're going to have that in the health section. We've got a little bit of economic news and some science and tech stuff too. Did you guys know that Google patented the ability to power a robot army yesterday? Yeah, true story. We'll talk about that when we get back. 3-minute break, guys. Keep it right here. Thanks for being here.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
This is London calling on Longwave.
The Chris Everard Show.
Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us this morning. I gotta tell you, this is the best part of my day, hanging out with you guys in the chat room and being here live with you guys every morning. It just makes my day so much better to have, a forum to talk to people and, to get this information out. I feel like I'm actually doing something productive with my life and really appreciate you guys all hanging out with me while we're going through this stuff. So, I also want to say there's a new person in the chat room with an absolutely fantastic name right now. Tinfoil Hatters were right. Ah, what a mouthful that is, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely fantastic. Appreciate you guys all hanging out in the chat room. Let's hop back into the national news right now. There are a couple other stories we do need to touch on. Several people of interest have been identified and are now being pursued in the unsolved 2008 bombing of the Times Square military recruitment station, federal officials said yesterday, and authorities are now asking the public for help. So no one was injured in this blast, but what happened before dawn on March 6th of 2008, but someone could have been, according to FBI and the police. So officials said the explosion might be connected to another unsolved early morning bicycle bombing that happened in New York, one of the British consulate in May of 2005 and another at the Mexican consulate in October of 2007. And the special assistant agent in charge of the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force said officials were making good progress, but would not give any details about possible leads, citing the ongoing probe. So officials right now are offering a $115,000 reward for information leading to the identification and arrest of suspects. There is some FBI footage available. It shows the Times Square suspect planting the bomb and then riding away on a blue bike that was later found in a trash bin in an adjoining neighborhood. And the device was built using an old ammunition can that is commonly found in the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan. And it was filled halfway with black powder and detonated using a timed fuse. No one was wounded, but the device could have caused significant casualties if people had been close to the blast, again, according to the FBI. So if you guys have any information about that, $115,000 reward for any information about the unsolved 2008 Times Square bombing. That was actually something I was not even aware of going down. So there you go. A little bit of news out of the Department of Homeland Security as well. They're ramping up to do another huge purchase of ammunition, guys. Another 62 million rounds of the ammunition typically used in an AR-15 semi-automatic rifles. This is, of course, just weeks after the ATF was forced to back down on their ban of the M855 bullets. So posting on FedBizOps.gov this week revealed that the DHS is looking to contract with a company now to provide 12.6 million rounds of .223 per year for a period of 5 years. This totals 62.5 million bullets. And of course, this already plays into the Operation Choke Point agenda. If you guys haven't gotten an opportunity to look into Operation Choke Point, that would be very important. People really are clamoring, saying, you know, they're buying all this ammo because they're trying to control the market to the street. And I totally agree with that, because one of the other things, one of the other ancillary points regarding this story is the military used to recycle all of their brass. They would always hold all their brass and then make it available for people who do reloads and things on the public market, and they're not doing that anymore. So not only are they not making up any money from reselling their brass like they've always done before, they're actually scrapping that and sending it off overseas. But now they have to replace all of these bullets. So it is absolutely about controlling the marketplace and keeping the bullets out of your hands. So they figured out if they can't control the guns, the best thing that they can do is control the ammo. So that's what they're doing right now. So again, another 62.5 million rounds just after the ATF was forced to back down on their ban of the same ammunition. So if you guys are in the market for that, probably a good time to be purchasing right now. Even some of the manufacturers are saying, wow, this is definitely going to cut into the public consumption side of things. And Kevin, the chat room, totally agrees. I'm sure a lot of you guys out there agree with that as well. We can see this agenda pretty well playing out since the Sandy Hook incident. Okay. That's what's going on with your ammo. So hopefully you guys are all stocked up on that. And if not, might now be a good time to do it. Let's get into, because it is Thursday. We've already had two of these stories this week. I was only going to do one a week, but they just keep on coming in. So I got to give you another FLACA update. Okay, so this Florida man, believed to be high on FLACA, which is a drug authorities say is now sweeping the state. He apparently attacked a Brevard County police officer after twice being shocked with a taser while he repeatedly said that he was God, according to officials. So Kenneth Crowder was his name. He's actually an Australian native from Melbourne, but he was arrested Friday on charges with battery, charges of battery on a law enforcement officer, resisting arrest and assault with a deadly weapon against a law enforcement officer. So according to a Melbourne police report, Crowder was spotted by a witness running naked through a Melbourne neighborhood yelling that he was God before committing a sexual act on a tree. I can't make this stuff up, guys. I really can't. It's just, I'll say that again. He was spotted by witnesses running naked through a Melbourne neighborhood yelling that he was God before committing a sexual act on a tree. Yes. Okay. So a Melbourne police officer went into the area to confront him, and apparently, the guy took an aggressive stance, approached the officer in an aggressive manner, identifying himself as God. The officer decided he didn't want to tangle with God, so he decided to tase Mr. Crowder, and Crowder didn't take kindly to being tased, so he pulled the barbs out of his body, continued to fight. He was also tased a second time, pulled those probes out, and then went after the officer again. The officer ended up punching Crowder in the face, and then a scrum ensued. So anyway, guy's arrested. He's in jail right now, still awaiting some kind of trial, and he looks like some guy who you would think would be high on FLACA. I'm just saying. You guys can check out that article in the Red Pill Reports at redpillreports.com under the show section there. But I'm just saying, if you guys are presented with an opportunity to do FLACA, I gotta go with Nancy Reagan on this one. Just say no. Just say no. Anything that somebody's making in their bathtub and then stepping on with sneakers, not a good angle to be going down here. Okay, let's hop into the economic news, figure out what's exactly going on in the world. The Dow is currently down, but barely, about 6 points. So we're sitting basically flat trading across the board right now. 18,106 is your Dow. The S&P 2097 also down just about a tenth of a percentage right now. The dollar index is falling just a touch this morning, 98 and 11. Let me scroll down here and get to us with the euro. Usually when the dollar goes down, the euro goes up. That is, in fact, exactly what is going on right now. 107 and 26 will get you a bright, shiny euro. Silver down just a touch today, $16.20. And gold, $1,197. So we are below that $1,200 mark there right now. And for your... wow, gas has come up, or I'm sorry, oil has come up just a little bit more today, almost another 2%. We are at 55 and 39 for a bright, shiny barrel of crude oil. And your Bitcoin has come up just a touch overnight. So we are at 225 and 2 big cents for a bright, shiny Bitcoin. Japan bumped China as the top holder of U.S. Treasury debt just as of this month. So again, Japan overtook China in February as the top foreign holder of U.S. Treasury securities. This is a position that China last held in August of 2008. So in its monthly report on bond holdings, the Treasury Department said Wednesday that total foreign holdings of Treasury debt dipped below 0.9% in February to $6.16 trillion, down from a record of $6.22 trillion in January. In the holdings of China, normally the top holder of treasury debt slipped 1.2% down to 1.22 million, and Japan's fell 1.1% from January. And so China's decline was a bit larger, which allowed Japan to jump into the top spot again, 700 million above China. So that's what's going on in your bond market right now. What else should we talk about here? Well, the global central banks, driven by the Keynesian lunacy, have now induced the single largest misallocation of capital in history. And nowhere is this more clear, since we were just talking about the bond markets. We'll kind of continue along with that, because nowhere is this more clear than in the bond markets right now. So I'm just going to ask you guys a couple of questions. These things sound normal in terms of the bond markets here. Globally, right now, 45% of all government bonds yield less than 1%. Spanish and Italian bonds are at levels not seen since the Black Plague. Government bonds from Germany have a negative yield as far out as 8 years, and the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield is at a level not seen since we were in World War One or World War Two. Holy cow. So true, the world does face a lot of issues today, so it's not odd, really, for the bond yields to be lower. But are these issues on par with the disease that wiped out 25% of Europe's population, or the single largest military conflict in history? I don't know. The bond market is now over $100 trillion in size, and the large banks have used a small portion of this, about 10%, as collateral to generate over $551 trillion in derivatives. The bubble is so massive that the Treasury Department has had to send survival kits delivered to large banks around the country. You guys remember that story from a little while ago? The New York Fed, similarly, is increasing the scope of operations in its satellite office in the Chicago branch in preparation for, as they put it, a natural disaster or other eventuality, as that could shut down its market operations as it approaches an interest rate hike. That's a direct quote from the New York Fed. Someone in the chat room, wait, are you saying negative bond rates aren't a good thing, JD? I thought central bankers were never wrong. I totally agree. I thought that too. I thought the central bankers had a really good handle on all this, but I don't know. Of course, you have to include the big banks in this also, who lobbied Congress to put the taxpayers on the hook for the big banks' future losses of their gargantuan derivatives portfolios. And the simple truth is that the central banks bet the entire financial system on their academic theories, and they have now found that the system did not respond as they hoped. So this economic recovery is the weakest in 80 years, and that's based on data that is actually pretty darn, we'll say, conservative. We'll say it overstates the growth. We'll just say we're being generous when we talked about these data points here, guys. So anyway, the Fed's own research shows that its quantitative easing program actually only dropped unemployment by 0.13% and actually spent almost $400,000 per new job created since the beginning of the crisis and the alleged end of the recession, right? So the ECB has not done any better. It is now actively charging depositors for sitting in cash, and several EU nations are now showing metrics on par with third world countries. And then there's the Bank of Japan, which has introduced a record number of Japanese to welfare and boosted the misery index to a 30-year high. Mind you, this 30-year period also includes the collapse of the biggest asset bubble in Japan's history, and people are more miserable today, right now, in Japan. Another crisis is coming, ladies and gentlemen, and judging from the actions of the Fed and others to prepare survival kits, remember that? It's going to be a lot worse than the 2008 collapse. This is coming out of Zero Hedge. Tyler Durden, man, he always does such great work, and I kind of definitely agree with that. And then another story too, there's a lot of questions right now about whether or not China is getting ready to experience the very same housing collapse that triggered the Great Recession here in the United States back in 2007. But really, if you look at the data points, China's housing bust may actually be quite a bit worse. The home values there are plunging at a faster rate than the American homes did following the bursting of the subprime mortgage bubble. And in early March, the People's Bank of China, which is the country's central bank, actually announced a surprise rate cut, while at the same time, the annual collapse in Chinese home prices is so sharp and so widespread that it has surpassed the housing collapse in the aftermath of the Lehman Brothers collapse. So again, China having a lot of troubles, man. Seems like every day we have some sort of economic indicator from China that things are not as good as we would like them to be. And, you know, we have the same corresponding data points from here talking about the retail industry basically collapsing here in the United States, because people don't have any money. There's no discretionary income left. You know, most of us are just trying to keep the lights on at this point. And what was it? We had an article last week, I think, saying that, what, 33 or 40% of Americans now living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, this is, we're just doomed. We're doomed. I don't know. Hopefully it's better wherever you guys are at. McDonald's is in the news a little bit too right now. Basically, everybody who owns a McDonald's that doesn't actually work for corporate is pissed off, ladies and gentlemen, because they're still losing sales. They're going down like, you know, like you would expect them to do as people start to realize just how bad McDonald's actually is. And, they do have a new CEO. He just took the helm a couple of weeks ago. There's going to be a big meeting this week to try and figure out how they're going to turn that franchise around. A lot of franchise owners upset about the rising rate of the minimum wage that was just put in place by corporate, because it kind of makes them feel like, well, we either have to do that or we don't. While at the same time, McDonald's does not have any kind of plan to improve the menu or improve the quality of the food. They're just doing all of these kind of stupid, you know, hey, we can pay with hugs, or hey, we'll do a thing where you guys can come in with your kids and we'll get you all caught up on your vaccines. Obviously, the last thing you would ever want to do is go to McDonald's, eat McDonald's, and have a vaccine at the same time. I mean, you might as well just put a gun in your mouth and pull the trigger. Okay, let's move on to some good. We had that awesome story about, what was the name of Gravity Payments? Was that the one from Seattle yesterday where the guy is raising everybody's salary to a minimum of $70,000 a year? Love that. Love it, love it, love it. Tesla, also not missing out on this one. He is planning on paying his average hourly wage at the new Tesla Gigaplant there in Reno, Nevada. His hourly wage is expected to be $25 an hour, and this is according to, again, the Reno, Nevada head of economic development authority said this earlier this week. So it means that nearly all automakers in the U.S. are now paying new hires. I'm sorry, this is higher than nearly all the automakers in the U.S. are paying new hires, and nearly double what most part suppliers pay. It's also above the $17 starting hourly wage that Tesla workers get to assemble the Model S in Fremont, California. So again, this Gigafactory in Reno is planning on hiring 6,500 workers over the next 8 years, and an average wage there will be $25 an hour. And this is what we need. We need more companies like this to step up and understand exactly what's going on in the world. People cannot survive making $13,000 a year. Just can't be done. Just can't do it. So if they want to have a consumer class, they need to provide money for us to consume with. That's the name of the game. Especially, you know, what really bothers me, and I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but it really bothers me that everybody on the radio show here knows, I'm sure, that we don't have a fiat currency. It's not fiat. Fiat is when it's not backed by anything. Our money is backed by something. We just don't talk about it. Your money is backed by your future time, talent, and energy. That's how the whole fiat system runs. It's based on you, your creativity, your ability to produce something, because without that, nothing can ever get made. You can take as much money as you want and throw it at the floor, and you'll never make a table out of it. I mean, you might. If you have enough money, I guess you could put stuff on it, but it won't actually make a table unless a person gets involved and does something with it. So what bothers me about this fiat system is that these idiots that have fleeced your labor, they have fleeced your time, talent, and energy and funneled it into their fiat currency. Those same people have the audacity to turn around and tell you what your time, talent, and energy is worth in that same currency. It's like a Mobius strip of slavery, really, fundamentally, is what it comes down to. And it's all words that I can't say on the radio, ladies and gentlemen. We'll leave it right there. I wanted to mention, too, we touched on this story about Walmart's shutting down the other day. Stores in California, Texas, Florida, and Oklahoma closed Tuesday with little or no warning, ostensibly for plumbing issues. I'm bringing this up in the economic news because it has some economic implications. There were easily 600 people that worked at each one of these stores that showed up for work only to find the doors locked. I mean, it would take a company like Walmart to just freaking decide that these people don't have the right to come back to work. And it's also saying, oh, well, they can find another job at a different Walmart if there's a position available. So the fact that Walmart would just close down stores in all of these regions while this Jade Helm thing is going on, there's a lot of people out there that know fundamentally that Walmart is part of this whole Agenda 21 initiative, and that also these Walmart stores would make very convenient fusion centers or FEMA camp or FEMA processing centers or whatever you want to call it. Here's the deal. They supposedly closed this thing down for plumbing, and I'm calling horse crap on that right off the bat. Pardon my language, ladies and gentlemen, but again, saying that they're going to do plumbing fixes and that it affects all of these stores, and these stores might be shut down for 6 months. Total crap. So here's James Enriquez, who is a city public works director from California, and he says that he has not been notified of any plumbing issues in the store. The company would obviously be required to pull permits before undertaking any extensive work. He also goes on to say if he was a property owner, he would want to make sure his store was closed as little as possible. He would want a permit to be in place the very day that they were going to close, but according to him, they have received no request for permits. There's other people in there saying, you know, there's absolutely no way. There's one guy who's an electrician who's done repairs for Walmart, and he says there's no way that these people, given his experience with them and the way that they've made contractors jump through hoops so that they did not have to shut down or cause any kind of inconvenience to their customers, there is no way that Walmart is doing what they're saying that they are doing. Walmart would go to the extent of building an entirely new restroom system before initiating repairs. So something else is going on here. There is something going on at these Walmarts. I don't know if it's Jade Helm related. It does have economic implications because all of these poor people just basically lost their jobs with no warning whatsoever, which to me is just absolutely ridiculous. But I think there's something going on. So if you're in one of those places where the Walmarts are closed, how about we do a little investigation? Let's see if we can get close. Let's see if you can get video of contractors going in and out. Let's talk to some of the contractors there, find out if they are actually doing some sort of plumbing work or if that whole thing is a fabrication, because I'm of the opinion that it is a fabrication at this point. I believe it was 6 stores. Somebody asked in the chat room how many stores. I believe it was 6. Go check out redpillreports.com and scroll down through the show section, and you'll find that in the economic news there, Red, or I'll see if I can get Kev saying 10 now. So I'm not really sure exactly. There, you know, it's unusual because it didn't really break on the national news. It really broke independently. All the little tiny news organizations said, oh, our Walmart's doing this. So you kind of have to go through all of those stories and bring everything together to see what's going on. Robot shelf stackers. I think if they were doing something like that, they would advertise it. They would say, you know, we're proud to bring you this new convenient thing, cutting down on costs, and it's going to drop the prices. I mean, you could build a mantra out of something like building robot shelf stockers. So anyway, I don't think that's what's going on. Okay, we gotta hop to this stuff here real quick. There were some lawsuits again filed this week against the Federal Communications Commission, but just one came from a major internet service provider. It's AT&T. Obviously AT&T is going to be suing the FCC. So kind of important. There are some other, organizations that are going to be suing as well. We just had that FCC actual stuff hit the ink this week. So that's why this next 10-day period is pretty important. Also, Republicans in the House of Representatives this week are making a legislative move to override the Federal Communications Commission's new net neutrality rule. So 14 Republicans filed a resolution disapproving of the new FCC regulations banning internet service providers from segregating web traffic based on speed and price, which they argue threatens industry innovation and expansion. So again, Congress disapproves the rule submitted by the Federal Communications Commission relating to the matter of protecting and promoting the open internet. So we'll see if things, you know, progress. I think we're going to be tied up in lawsuits, and we probably won't see any type of change really to the internet for a long time. Okay, after getting a patent for giving robots personalities last month, we had that story. Google now apparently wants to unleash an army of robots onto the world. Yep. In a patent awarded yesterday, the company outlined a system for allocating tasks to a plurality of robotic devices. And this sounds innocuous enough. It could mean linking a series of factory robots together, or perhaps a gaggle of Roombas to clean a large house. But the potential is also a lot bigger than that. So Google's patent outlines methods for connecting a series of robots over the cloud to complete tasks, but it does not put a limit on how many robots could be managed at once. So the patent suggests that the robots could be controlled by a smartphone. Google's mobile operating system is called Android, after all, with tasks doled out based on each robot's ability to complete them. Someone could theoretically control the bot swarm from anywhere in the world. And there are certainly legitimate applications for this. They might be trying to make sure that all their self-driving cars can communicate with each other and be monitored from a central source, which doesn't, you know, that seems kind of like a no-brainer. But applying this task management system to other Google ventures, such as its robotics arm, Boston Dynamics, the potential gets a little more worrisome. And the timing on this patent is pretty perfect because the UN right now is currently meeting to decide whether to restrict or possibly even ban the development of autonomous lethal weapons and what level of meaningful human control such weapons should have. And the Google representative told Quartz that some of the patent ideas do later mature into real products or services, but some of them don't. And he stopped short of well, mentioning whether or not the company had any plans to raise a robot army. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see, ladies and gentlemen. I want to give you a quick heads up, too, about another app that I do not like. Well, it's not really an app, I guess. Android's 5.0 Lollipop, which is the operating system probably on a lot of your smartphones out there. If you're in the Samsung SG, S4 and up range, you can upgrade to Android Lollipop. They've got a new feature right now called Trusted Voice, and I just want to give you guys a heads up because I wouldn't trust Trusted Voice. It's the ability to unlock your phone just by using your voice. Obviously, that means your phone's listening to you all the time. Gary Milievsky is probably rolling over in his chair right now thinking about how awful this particular app is and just how dangerous it is, because if someone gets a recording of your voice, boom, they can open up your phone. So if you're prompted on your phone, you get a new phone and it prompts you if you want to use this trusted voice thing, just remember that is giving the phone permission essentially to be listening to you all the time, because it's listening for you to say hello phone or whatever it is that you decide to say to your phone to wake it up. It'll be listening for that all the time and probably also storing some things, and you just don't know. You just don't know. Okay, I'm going to skip this story because we only have a little bit of time left, and I did want to talk about this exorbitant spending. Americans last year spent on pharmaceutical drugs more than the entire military defense budget of China, Russia, and the UK combined. It's a total of $374 billion. The latest figure, which comes from the IMS Institute for Healthcare Informatics, was reported by the AP. It's the highest jump since we have seen since 2001, and even 13% higher than 2013. The astronomical $374 billion figure contributed to record-shattering numbers of prescription drugs being purchased from pleasantly surprised pharmacies around the nation. More than 4.3 billion prescriptions were dispensed in 2014, with Medicaid covering about 17% of those. So again, spending rose 13%. This is the largest jump since 2001 to a total of $374 billion, according to this report released yesterday. What does it really mean? Well, it's tied into some other recent reports regarding the even more absurd numbers behind how much money the medical establishment wastes on an annual basis, right? So over $75 billion is wasted in straight up fraud. Over $55 billion or more is lost due to lack of preventative education and opportunity. Another $190 billion is blown on unnecessary paperwork and administrative costs. A plentiful $210 billion is spent on what has been deemed unnecessary services, as in repeated tests over and over for really no reason. And another $130 billion was spent on tests and services that were performed in a way that made them even more expensive than necessary, such as hospital facilities for no reasons. And this accounted for insufficient services. So again, we have a problem in this country, ladies and gentlemen. And we had a fantastic show yesterday with Jim Ram. I got to tell you, man, if you guys are not starting to understand how dangerous pharmaceuticals are and also understanding how beneficial supplements can be, I would really, really highly recommend you guys check out Youngevity. Oh, just start educating yourself. Go listen to Jim Ram's show in the morning on Thursdays. Check out Pharmacist Ben. There's a lot you can do about your own health, ladies and gentlemen. And you guys know I'm a Youngevity nut at this point. So we got to go to this break. We come right back. Deborah Tavares will be here. Keep it right here, guys.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
No hate, no hype, no fear. We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break and for being with us here every morning on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. Very excited to have you guys along for the ride and appreciate you guys all being in the chat room as well. We've got another high watermark show for you guys today. We are very humbled to be welcoming once again Deborah Tavares back to the program. For you guys who don't know Deborah, she is a third generation land developer of residential construction. She's been self-employed in family operation business for over 30 years, and she specialized in land feasibility studies, acquisitions, and building permit processes, including environmental impact reports. And while she was doing that, she started to really understand the encroachment of the Agenda 21 program and all of its various facets. She's an outspoken anti-advocate for the smart meters. She's a lot of fantastic websites, and I highly want to recommend you guys get a pen and a piece of paper ready, because she will be dropping information on you guys at a rate that you're going to want to write this stuff down and go back and check on it later. So first and foremost, Deborah Tavares, thank you very much for joining us once again on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast.
Well, JD, thank you so much for having me. For those of you, my website is www.stopthecrime.net. We will be talking about water also, and the website for that is primarywater.org. I'm here in Northern California, and we're being besieged with the psychological warfare of water scarcity. The illusion of water scarcity is absolutely massive land theft, massive food reduction, and privatizing the water to work into bringing in genetically modified seeds and foods. This is what is behind this massive takedown of California with the illusion of running out of water. The Earth is the water planet. We have plenty of water. Water is a renewable resource. Don't be tricked by the psychological warfare that is being waged on us through scarcity. Everything that's waged by scarcity is part of the genocide program, as well as control a water market. One of the most important YouTubes that I can suggest that you listen to, that we did absolutely packed with source documents, is entitled Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Power. Again, Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Power. We found when our research team was going through various countries, we found two of the most important documents about the plans of Rothschild and the major corporations to take over the water in the United States. When you go and look at that YouTube, under the YouTube, you can click on more information, and these two documents are there for you to download and read. Understand, this is war. This is truly water wars, the weaponization of water.
Yes.
The added aspect of water that is being weaponized is the fact that they're intentionally using biological assaults on the water supply. They have for years. Right now they're telling us in the newspapers that there are algae blooms that are going to create a toxicity in the freshwater drinking supply.
That's right.
And that because of these algae blooms, the water's going to become dangerous to drink. Well, I can also tell you they're pushing towards water treatment. This is a goal. These are in the documents. Water treatment and desalinization, we do not need to do either one when you understand primary water. Their documents tell us they plan to make billions and billions of dollars globally by water treatment that we will be forced to pay for, and it will be extracted from all of us because they're going, of course, to tell us we have polluted the water supply. There's just too many people eating too much stuff. In fact, I did an interview, recounted an interview of Ted Turner that I did a couple of years ago here in Northern California. It's up on YouTube. It's called Ted the Terrible Turner. I would recommend that everyone take a look at that. It's rather horrifying. But having said that, Earth Day is coming up, and it's very, very important. We need every boot on the ground that we can muster. So for all of you that are listening, this is what you can do. Go to primarywater.org. Spend some time. Watch the YouTube, Water Crisis Hoax, and most importantly, the companion YouTube, Primary Water Explained. Primary Water Explained. So that you will get a handle on understanding the real water facts. We are being psychologically programmed into the idea of scarcity. So once you have a reasonable grasp on the water science, then we need all of you to download for free the half-page double-sided flyers that are on primarywater.org. Get out into your parks and into the venues over the next few weeks during Earth Week and spread the primary water information out as far as possible. When California is taken down by the illusion of water, when more and more small farms and ranches are literally collapsed because they'll walk away from their land believing they do not have enough water,
mm-hmm.
and they'll just leave their lands, it's only because of the ignorance on how water is manufactured with hydrogen and oxygen. And when they combine deep within the mantle of the earth, it turns into vapor, then water. It must surface. And water surfaces through fissures and crevices. In fact, on primarywater.org, you'll see a picture when you land on the homepage of what they call Fly Geyser, F-L-Y Geyser. It's in Nevada. It's an amazing geyser. What happened about 100 years ago, a rancher was drilling for a well. They hit water. They hit primary water.
Uh-huh.
At the time, they didn't realize it. The water they hit was at 200 degrees. And so they capped that well, and they drilled elsewhere for water that was at a different temperature. And ultimately, the cap on the well failed.
Uh-huh.
And you see this Fly Geyser. Everyone needs to type in your search engine or go to primarywater.org and look at Fly Geyser. It has been literally, water has been shooting up out of this continuously for about 80 or so plus years.
It made a really beautiful formation, too. I mean, and it's really startling to me that it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. It should really be a national park or a national treasure, as far as I'm concerned, just looking at it. It's amazing.
Well, I'm sure that it will be, because right now we know that the BLM and the Fish and Game and all of the corporate agencies that are working for the demise of everything that we as individuals own, I'm sure that will be a national park soon enough, even though it is private, thought at least to be private land right now.
Right.
But setting that aside, for all of you, we need your help, and you need to help yourselves to quail the alarm of limited water, because this is literally going to impact millions and billions of people globally. And we've got to get this information out. So I'm going to read to you from the Russian River Times. It's a small paper here in Northern California. The Russian River is a river that flows past Bohemian Grove, the infamous Bohemian Grove. And the title of this article is Sour Grapes in the Wine Country. I want to make one statement right now. The wine country here in Northern California is predominantly infiltrated and is Rothschild. So when you type in Mondavi, which is a well-known vineyard here, you find that Mondavi has partnered with Rothschild. They have influence with UC Davis in the Sacramento area.
Wow.
We have been taken over. It's most important for everyone to understand what happened, and I'm going to get into that in a moment, but I want to just finish the description of this article. Okay, so sour grapes in the wine country. It goes on to talk about how out-of-country large developers are coming into the wine country, and they are creating heavy industrial operations in our rural areas here in Northern California, and expanding them to become event centers so that you can travel up here and come to an event, and commercial bottling operations under the pretense that they are agriculture rather than alcohol-producing factories. Large wineries seek to avoid environmental impact reports. I want to add one thing right now.
Okay.
In the documents that I've referred to in the YouTube, Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Power, they talk about virtual water. And virtual water is when water is used in one region, for example, to grow grapes here in Northern California. Then it's bottled up and sent elsewhere. They're importing water that way, and that's going to be accounted for in the very near future. I'm going to go over that. But I want to read this. This is in that article. Wineries overuse precious limited resources, such as water, air, and land. Okay, let me read this again.
Wow.
Wineries overuse precious limited resources, such as water, air, and land, which threatens the environment and the quality of life in our semi-rural region. And they talk about how Napa, most of you may know of Napa, that was where that 6.0 earthquake occurred in August of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it dislodged some of the fissures, and primary water started to flow in dry creeks and rivers during the height of the drought here in Northern California. Now, of course, everyone listening, I know you know that it's weaponized weather warfare.
Yes.
This is why we have the drought. But now we've got the creation of limited water resources, as was created with oil. We had peak oil, limited resources. Rockefeller very cleverly moved into discussions during petroleum and created the illusion of fossil fuels, a limited resource, fossil fuels and plant material. Now, we've since learned that our petroleum does not come from dead dinosaurs. In fact, an excellent YouTube to watch is called Origins of Oil, Origins of Oil. They're creating the same illusion with water, peak water. We must not allow this to occur and say nothing. For everyone that is listening, your silence is your permission for a takedown, an elimination of our available drinking water so that they can use water treatment plants to treat the poisonous water that has been intentionally poisoned for our consumption. The water, primary water is water, again, that I explained, that comes up deep within the mantle of the earth. It has never been exposed to the atmosphere. And we have been drinking toxic atmospheric water, the secondary water cycle. We've learned and been taught that water comes from rain and snowmelt. The truth is, all the water on the surface of the planet, including the rain and the snowmelt, is a result of primary water evaporation. What has happened is our IQs have been greatly reduced because we have been drinking atmospheric toxic water, water that has come from bomb testing through the environment, the geoengineering, all the poisons and toxins of the overhead death dumps that we see happening here on a daily basis here in Northern California. Then all of the runoff from all of the toxic fertilizers and heaven knows all of the things that have been added to the degradation of the soil that runs into our reservoirs that we drink. Now, when you go to primarywater.org, there's a book, a free download. It's called New Water for a Thirsty World. The foreword was written by Aldous Huxley. This book was written in the late 50s, released in the early 60s, and was confiscated, rounded up, and burned by the controllers in the Southern California area.
Wow.
The attempt with this book was to talk the water powers that be in Southern California not to build the aqueduct system that we have in the San Joaquin Valley, because that was to be a failed system of toxic water and control. Now, what was wanting to be done at that time by the water, primary water experts, was to drill the wells for primary water and distribute the water through a well system where it would not be contaminated and it could be moved through the natural process of continual creation of water. Again, the earth is the water planet. It makes water continuously. We have been so massively deceived and so massively poisoned by the plans to eradicate what we have known as being human and transition us into something other than human. We're being eliminated.
That's right. And Deborah, I just wanted to ask you, since you've got so much experience right now, obviously being there in California, are you starting to hear the rumblings of people who are deciding to pick up and leave? I mean, are we going to witness an exodus if we don't get on top of this situation?
Well, I'm certain that many people are going to become very fearful, particularly when their wells run dry. I want to read this to everyone that's listening. This is why we need boots on the ground. We need everybody in the parks over Earth Day, which will be celebrated this coming weekend and the following. You must get these flyers out far and wide. You can call and have magnetic signs made for your vehicles that say, essentially, primary water is why we do not have a water shortage. And then it has the website, primarywater.org. We need to all work together as far and wide as possible, even overseas. It doesn't matter. This is a global water issue of deceit, and the documents tell you. So please listen to the YouTube that we did, Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Power. Now, getting back to your question, J.D., about people picking up and moving out, let me tell you what it says here. In the USA Today paper dated, it was just a recent paper, and it says this, new rules for water, new water rules. It says California Governor Jerry Brown on Wednesday announced the first mandatory water restrictions in California's history. They include... Now, I'm going to read some of these new rules, but I want everyone to pay attention to this last rule. It's exactly what you're talking about, Jim.
Okay.
So listen to these rules. Requiring camp uses, golf courses, cemeteries, and other large landscape spaces to reduce water consumption. Replacing 50 million square feet of lawns with drought-tolerant landscaping in partnership with local governments. When you hear partnership, that means that you're paying for the replacement of your neighbor's lawn, because what is happening is they have a cash-for-grass system. And when I asked where that money is coming from, it's coming from the water payers. We're going to see massive increase of water cost because of all of these deceptive programs to pay for people to remove their lawns.
That's right.
The next rule, creating a statewide rebate program to replace old appliances with more water and energy efficient appliances. So not just water efficiency, energy efficient appliances. And JD, I've been talking about the climate action plans, or the plans requiring us to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions.
Well, and you've talked about the coalition of PG&E and the Rothschild organization too. So obviously there's a tie in there.
Oh, no question. This is a global takeover of energy resources.
Right.
This is going to literally cost people thousands and thousands of dollars per building nationwide, because every building is non-compliant under these new green energy rules. And I recently attended a meeting, because here, and this is a YouTube everybody also needs to listen to. It's called Who's Running America and the Climate Action Plans. Again, Who's Running America and the Climate Action Plans. Watch this YouTube. What I've recently discovered is that Santa Rosa in Northern California, who has an approved climate action plan, actually, this plan was adopted in June of 2012. And I recently attended a meeting last week, actually, at Sonoma State University. They have a sustainability department. That department is funded by the World Bank, which is Rothschild.
Wow.
I attended a meeting for 9 hours. I was somewhat unnerved by this meeting. One of the things that I heard is that Sonoma County is going to form an alliance with Stanford Law School and UCLA Law School to put teeth into these climate action plans that are now being adopted in all of the other cities in Sonoma County. As we speak, these plans are being adopted. So for those of you that think that this isn't happening in your town, all you need to do is type in the name of your city or your county, and followed by policies to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. In fact, this is a rule of thumb now. In order to understand the danger that we're in, you can type in any organization or corporation to see where they stand, to understand the enormity of this falsified science and creating a new global market out of false science to reduce your carbon footprint. Type in the CDC, Center for Disease Control. Type in USGS. Type in the FCC, followed by policies to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. This corporate structure that is strangling us is all backing falsified science. It's time that we expose this corporate construct.
Yes.
Because literally, we are in danger beyond what the definition of danger means. But I want to continue with these rules. So then they say they're requiring new homes, efficient drip irrigation if developers want to use potable water for landscaping. I want to stop right here. Remember water treatment. Well, water treatment, any type of water treatment does not eliminate endocrine disruptors. Endocrine disruptors cause everything from weight gain to cancer death, particularly in small children, people with immune deficiencies, and older people. The water treatment is a failed treatment system of toxic atmospheric water that has been additionally polluted intentionally. We are going to ask and beg for water treatment plants, because we're going to be so frightened by the poisoning of the water supply deliberately and not being able to access clean water. Why do you think all of a sudden over the last couple of years we've been hearing clean water? Well, our water shouldn't need to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
Primary water is clean. Primary water is why many areas, such as Hungary, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, had a rash of child prodigies. Primary water. And I can only say that we have been massively betrayed. We have been massively dumbed down and poisoned. I'm going to go on with these rules. Banning the watering of ornamental grass on public streets and mediums. We're talking grasses. Generally, these grasses have already been replaced as being indigenous and grasses that will tolerate the area in which they grow in. So mm-hmm. now they're not going to be watering city mediums. And there's no reason not to. Again, we have primary water. This is the final rule, or not the final rule, but on this printout, and I want you to all listen very carefully. Directing state departments to provide temporary relocation assistance to families who need to move from homes where domestic wells have run dry.
Wow.
To housing with running water.
FEMA camps, anyone?
No, actually, this and what this is really doing, and I've got to get into this, JD, because this is unbelievable. We are all being confronted with a new language through this climate change false agenda. Very important that everyone, again, most important is to get this water information out. So
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that everybody will download the flyers and get this information out. They can call and order these magnetic signs for your vehicles by calling area code 707-586-9558. Once again, area code 707-586-9558. This print shop, just for the cost of printing and shipping, will get you these magnetic signs out. We need these signs on every vehicle, everywhere. They're magnetic, so you can put them on and take them off. And, again, we've got to alert everybody to the water crisis being created out of the illusion of scarcity. But I want to read, I want to discuss a word that I've been hearing at meetings. And at first, when I heard this meeting, I thought I understood, when I heard this word, I thought I understood its meaning. I heard it not only in some of our local city councils, but most recently at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. It is an annual meeting that's held every year in a different city. It was in San Jose in February of this year, 2015. I attended it. And it's extremely important to understand when you type in American Association for the Advancement of Science, followed by Policies to Reduce Greenhouse Gas Emissions, you need to understand they are a massive scientific movement. It's scientific warfare.
It is. Deborah, I've got to pause you right here because we're just getting ready to go up onto a break. I want to highly recommend people do download this flyer, especially if you're not in California, because if you don't think that this California situation is going to affect you where you live, if you're here in the Midwest and you have property that has water on it, that's going to affect you. People are going to be coming here, and there's a lot going on here in this California situation. I know when we come back, Deborah, I think you're going to want to talk about this idea of the resilient city. Am I correct with that?
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. Okay.
Everybody stay tuned. You
definitely.
Have no idea what you're going to
miss. Right? Everybody keep it right here. I mean, this is about as groundbreaking, up-to-the-date information as you guys are going to get about what is going on with Agenda 21. Appreciate you guys all being here. Deborah Tavares is our guest. We'll be back after 3 minutes. Keep it right here, guys.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio, right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN, worldwide.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago, when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life.
Really?
I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals.
Wow, why are you so nice to me?
Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Like a cancer that silently spreads.
Agent for Truth with Joe Bannister.
Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. We are moving into the final segment with our very special guest, Deborah Taveras, today. I hope you guys are enjoying this. I gotta say, the situation in California is getting scarier and scarier by the day because we are on that slippery slope right now. They are passing rules, and if you're not in the loop or doing something about it, you're absolutely gonna get steamrolled out there. And if you're in a surrounding state, you might end up with a neighborhood full of Californians, and that to me is something that I would be trying to avoid as well. Again, we're having a discussion today with Deborah Taveras, who lives in California, and she's bringing us all of the up-to-date information about the water shortage and kind of where the agenda for that comes from. Deborah, before we hop back into, we were talking a little bit about a conference that you recently attended in California. I do have to stop for just one quick question. Someone was asking if you might re-mention the name of the Aldous Huxley book that you mentioned a little while ago.
Yes, go to our website, primewater.org. And it's a free download. It's entitled New Water for a Thirsty World. And that website links to another website entitled primarywaterinstitute.org. This is for more scientific types with more evidence to certainly satisfy any questions or naysayers to the reality of primary water.
Okay,
but
thanks,
I would recommend the most important explanation on how the primary water cycle and secondary water cycles work is the YouTube, Primary Water Explained. That will bring everyone up to speed very quickly, Primary Water Explained. Also, I would recommend that people go to stopthecrime.net. Scroll down on the homepage. You will see the Rinse Radio logo network. Listen to our archives. I am up on Rinse 6 p.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday. I am interviewing people about these topics, psychotronic weapons, the massive mind control attacks in our schools, the fact that for many years, black ops have been setting up psychotronic weapon systems within the schools. monitoring teachers when they take their laptops home. Literally, the science and math teachers are very heavily monitored. If they were teaching real math and real science, they were ending up getting cancers or ending up leaving their profession. The assault is massive. The assault is in methods in which most people are unaware. Most important to understand what we are facing and to just be able to emotionally and psychologically deal with what is at hand.
Yes.
Now, I was talking about the American Association for the Advancement of Science, a recent a program that we attended over a four-day period. I'm going to read to you. It says that in December of 2006, the AAA, AAAS, again, American Association for the Advancement of Science, adopted an official statement on climate change in which they stated, "The scientific evidence is clear. Global climate change caused by human activities is occurring now, and it is a growing threat to society. The pace of change and evidence of harm have increased markedly over the last 5 years. The time to control greenhouse gas emissions is now." I want to add this. This is critical for everyone to understand. We have a de facto corporate government system. The United States that we believe serves us is corrupt. They have adopted climate change, as you all know.
Yes.
It's all an illusion. It's all for global market. In fact, climate change is a weapon of mass destruction. That's what it is. Climate change is a weapon of mass destruction.
Yes.
I want to add, this is extremely important. The American Bar Association, the bar, these are all of the attorneys. They have resolved to support and affirm the commitment to sustainable development and adopt internationally accepted concepts of sustainable development as recognized by the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development in 1992. So when you heard me say earlier that Sonoma County is forming an allegiance to put teeth into the policies to reduce our carbon footprints here by forming an allegiance with Stanford Law School and UCLA Law School, the lawyers are in on this.
Yes.
The bar means British Accreditation Regency.
That's right.
And in fact, it's extremely important to understand. I'm going to read a couple of things out of the Fruit from a Poisonous Tree. Fruit from a Poisonous Tree was written by Melvin Stamper, S-T-A-M-P-E-R, Melvin Stamper. The book is about secrets that we were never told about and never were revealed, such as American blacks were set free as slaves but never as free men. All you own belongs to the Federal Reserve. You are made a slave by the way your name is spelled. The Constitution was set aside during the Civil War and has never been in effect since. Now, I'm just going to read a couple of things from page 58, again, Fruit from a Poisonous Tree. Colonel Edward Mandel House, who was the agent provocateur of Rothschild, the head of the European banks, was assigned to oversee the President and the Congress in the implementation of the central bankers' plans. House is attributed with giving direction and strategy to be implemented by the President of the United States and the Senators to enslave the American people with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act and Amendments 16 and 17.
That's right.
The scheme also provided for the control of the courts via the 1993 creation of the American Bar Association, whose parent organization was the European International Bar Association, which was the creation of Rothschild. This allowed the international bankers to control the practice of law. Now, I want to talk, there's more, but I don't have time. I'm in the final few minutes, I guess, here, J.D.
You got about 20 minutes left, Deborah.
20?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I'm going to finish then this quote from Colonel Mandel House. It was found in the private papers of Woodrow Wilson, who was president from 1913 to 1921. This is a quote, again, from Edward Mandel House. "Very soon, every American will be required to register their biological property in a national system designed to keep track of each person, and that will operate under the ancient system of pledging. By such a methodology, we can compel people to submit to our agenda, which will affect our security as a chargeback for our fiat paper currency. In other words, create their safety as more of us realize the immense fraud that is occurring every minute of every day, 24/7, 365. Mm-hmm. The most outrageous fraud ever perpetrated has been ongoing every minute.
That's right.
So continuing with this quote, every American will be forced to register or suffer not being able to work or earn a living. They will be our chattel, and we will hold the security interest over them forever by operation of the law merchant under the scheme of secured transactions. Americans, by unknowingly and unwittingly delivering the bills of lading to us, will be rendered bankrupt and insolvent forever to remain economic slaves through taxation secured by their pledges. I'm going to add something right here. These are my words. All of you need to understand the role of grants that are being contracts that are being engaged by all of your cities. All of the corporate entities are filling out contracts and applying for grants. Most of the people are unaware of the indebtedness that grants are creating. We have grants at every single meeting, whether it's city council meeting or county board of supervisors, the board of education, it does not matter. These grants, when I've asked these people that talk about grant funding that they've just been awarded, and I asked where the grant funding is coming from and who has to pay it back, they shrug their shoulders. They say, well, it's federal money and we don't have to pay it back. Well, I can tell you, the national debt is imploding because of grant money that people do not understand. This is how this system is operating, printing fiat money, giving grants to cities. This is how this absolute horrific climate change agenda is being financed by and large.
Right.
So now I'm going to continue with this quote. The people will be stripped of their rights and given a commercial value designed to make us a profit, and they will be none the wiser. For not one man in a million could ever figure out our plans. And if by accident one or two were to figure it out, we have an arsenal of plausible deniability. After all, this is the only logical way to fund government.
I pause you right quick, Deborah, because you're hitting on exactly a subject that we talked about during the economic news earlier. We were talking about the raising of minimum wage, and I had to stop everybody and just say, remember, you know, your fiat currency in this country is not fiat. It's actually floated against your time, talent, and energy, which are the only creative forces on the planet. So they have essentially captured your labor and essentially use that to float their fiat currency. And then they turn around, these same people, and tell you what your time, talent, and energy is worth in that same currency. And to me, it's like a Mobius strip of slavery. Wouldn't you agree, Deborah?
Beyond that. I'm going to go over a word and a definition in just a moment. I just want to finish this very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Goes on to say, quote, after all, this is the only logical way to fund government, by floating liens and debt to the registrants in the form of benefits and pledges. This will inevitably reap us huge profits beyond our wildest of expectations and leave every American a contributor or to this fraud, which we will call social insurance. Now listen carefully to this. Without realizing it, every American will insure for us any loss we may incur. And in this manner, every American will unknowingly be our servant, however begrudgingly. The people will become helpless and without any hope for their redemption, and we will employ the high office of the president and our dummy corporations to foment this plot against America. Now I'm going to go into the definition of a word that I've not only heard in local cities, but also at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. The word is commodify. Now, when I once heard that word, I assumed what it meant, because we all know what commodities are. Commodify is this word. I looked it up because I then saw a PowerPoint at the American Association for Advancement of Science. Remember, This is scientific warfare. They are supporting scientific fraud. So anything at all that they talk about is extremely dangerous, and we need to pay attention. I looked up the word commodification because that was presented on a slide, again, at this conference, and I looked up commodification. Commodification means everything will be bought and sold, the weather, the climate, the water, the air, the food. In other words, everything that was unsellable in the past will become sellable. And the word commodification is a Marxist theory, and it means this. Human beings can be considered subject to commodification in contexts such as genetic engineering, that's happening, social engineering and cloning, eugenics, social Darwinism, fascism, mass marketing and employment. An extreme case of commodification is slavery. Well, we're all enslaved.
Big time.
Where human beings themselves become a commodity to be bought and sold.
Wow.
So this is an extremely important word, commodification. Pay attention, listen to the words very carefully. Another word that has taken on an entirely new meaning is the word resilient cities. When you type in your search engine, resilient cities, you find out that Rockefeller was the pioneer behind resilient cities. Simply put, in my words, is trauma training so that we will be trauma ready for the weaponized weather warfare that they call climate change that is increasing. We have all been told that was once 100 year storms and effects of weather events will now happen on an annual basis and will be reducing, oftentimes to monthly. We have a YouTube up. It's called KILL, K-I-L-L, ARC, A-R-K, Storm. KILL, ARC, Storms. Watch this. We filmed a NOAA presentation of the dismantling of California via massive weather events. This is what is being planned for your town, everywhere, globally. This is being planned, weaponization of the weather, to create and cause and force resilient cities. Now, resilient cities are what we've been talking about, Agenda 21, smart cities, the gathering up of people into mega cities. They know that, in fact, these cities will fail. Here's a resilient city document. It's called Responding to the Crash, Peak Oil, and Climate Change. Now, again, the illusion of finite energy resource of oil. Again, resilient cities responding to the crash, peak oil, and climate change. This is out of Curtin University in Australia, C-U-R-T-I-N, University in Australia. This is what they're telling us. These resilient cities will become divided. There will be wealthy eco-enclaves surrounded by Mad Max suburbs. Highly probable, as it is the market solution. Now, I repeat, market. Water is becoming a massive market. When you listen to the YouTube, Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Control, you will understand this is a water market. And I talked about those two documents that you can download underneath that YouTube. Markets are being created out of everything. The market of food. They're moving us from the idea of scarce water resources into buying where you live and buying the climate. In the meetings that we attended, they were talking about how current agriculture and farming is unsustainable. It's unsustainable because there's lost revenue in the current process where farmers go purchase their seeds, grow their products, and then take it to market. There's too much lost revenue in that entire process. They want to commoditize every aspect. They call them gaps of lost revenue. So what we're seeing with this fear-mongering of limited and reduced water resources is the bringing in of genetically modified foods. This is going to be the answer to pinching society with the illusion of water scarce water resources.
Okay.
So they go on to say that eventually these resilient cities will be undermined, which is based on the collective responses regarding opportunities and providing opportunities for everyone. What they're saying here is that these resilient cities, people that will be living in them, will be traumatized. We know that there will be increased electromagnetic frequency assaults on everybody. We know everyone will be required to be vaccinated. We know that space-based of the population is going to be increased for absolute and total mind control through the psychotronic weapons system. In fact, what we are seeing is a massive increase in mind control. The efforts of psychotronic weaponization has been put forth since before World War II. And we've got to understand our schools are extremely dangerous places for our children. We must get children out of school. And that doesn't mean bringing in homeschool curriculum from the weaponized education system that is nothing more than indoctrination and massive mind control of our. On the agenda of the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors on April the 14th of 2015, we discovered this, and they approved it, and they're working on it. It's called Keeping Kids in School. They say that Sonoma County lost $9.1 million in 1 year due to truancy. This is lost revenue. Educational systems are a market. They want warm little bodies in the chairs at all times. They're going to have groups comb the cities to locate kids that are not in school. They're going to have programs for parents on training the parents to minimize truancy. Children are going to be required to be in school. They're moving into universal preschool, where 3- and 4-year-olds will be required to be in school for medical and MKUltra training. They're bringing early onset sex education into schools. This is, again, MKUltra programming and training. Now, I would recommend everybody go, again, to the homepage of our website, stopthecrime.net, and listen to an interview that I did. This is an unbelievable interview. And I would recommend everybody download it. We're actually going to be creating a YouTube out of it. And it is an interview that discusses how they have had black ops go into the schools and wirelessly wire up the schools, again, as I said earlier in the broadcast. The interview date on the Rents Radio Network and the archives for this interview is April the 13th of 2015. You can pick that up again from the homepage of stopthecrime.net. But I want to continue with the word resiliency. This, as I said, is trauma training for the weaponization of everything. We will be individually blamed if we're not able to cope psychologically or physically to the weaponization that we will all face. This is what this is about. This is trauma training to presumably be trauma ready for unimaginable increased weaponized weather events on all of us, and the illusion of limited water resources. Now, again, the request for activism and what everyone needs to do is get these flyers out from primarywater.org, those half-page double-sided flyers, get them out far and wide. It's most important before they continue with moratoriums on new well drilling that people in rural areas get to primary water. We must all get to primary water. Just knowing it exists is more than 70% of the battle. Just knowing that it's there, we will not succumb mentally to the illusion of scarcity.
Yes.
We are facing monstrous consequences that are unrolling very rapidly right now. I attended a vector control meeting here just last night in Northern California. They are increasing the cost for treating mosquitoes that they claim have yellow fever and dengue fever here in our area. They want to spray us more. Now, we've got to go to these vector control meetings. I did. I had a good-sized poster made up. You can request that, too, again, from 707-586-9558, 707-586-9558 for a poster, a good-sized poster of the water cycles. I held it up, and I explained in my 3 minutes what that meant. And I had droves of people coming up for the information. People are thirsty, and I don't mean a pun on words here, but they're thirsty for the truth.
Yes.
Subconsciously, they know that something's very wrong with the fact that we're being told California is going to be out of water a year, a month ago. So 11 months now and counting. We are not going to be out of water. We are the water planet, and we must get this information out far and wide. We must no longer allow the controllers to deceive us with scientific fraudulent policies. They are collapsing everything. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Based on the lies of scarcity and competition, which, again, you know, we got these people out there pursuing profit in fake money, causing actual death and harm and destruction to Earth and its inhabitants, based on profit, which is another construct of man. It's all scarcity, competition. None of it is real anymore, ladies and gentlemen.
That's absolutely right. Now, I want to talk again. I mentioned, I talked about resilient cities somewhat. The whole concept was pioneered by the Rockefeller Foundation. Again, this is organized criminal trauma, corporate networks, and intentionally planned weaponization of the weather, disasters. And resilience, I said, trauma training, to be trauma ready, ready or not. And it's a false meaning, it's doublespeak. Sustainability means a plan to fail. There's no such thing as sustainability. It's not real. That word in and of itself is not real. Nothing sustains forever. We have literally been sold a global reinventing of the global marketplace.
That's right.
And that is what is occurring. They're transitioning the globe into an entirely new marketplace built upon fabricating unreal scientific and creating realities out of unreal scientific definitions. And we
That's
have
right.
science communities that are behind this. Your city councils are promoting these policies. Your county board of supervisors are promoting these policies. They're incorporated. They do not work for you. You get 3 minutes to speak, and you are cut off. And if you continue to speak, you are escorted by the police that they now have. They have law enforcement now increasing at all of these meetings because they realize people are starting to become aware that something's sideways.
That's right.
So now at the meetings, at the vector control meeting that I've attended many times in the past, last night there was law enforcement.
Wow.
And I brought that up at the meeting because it is criminal. We are being run by criminality.
Yes.
And naturally, as we start to oppose this, which we must, by paper and education, we do not have the weapons system to engage in any type of, sadly, an armed kind of pushback.
Well, I want everybody to go to your website, Stop the Crime, and I want to download this document so people can get some flyers up. Deborah, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we are out of time. It was another very fast hour, and I really appreciate you joining us today to share all this information with us.
Sadie, thank you. Everyone take care. We're all on the same boat.
That's right.
Let's help each other survive here.
That's right.
Deborah Tavera, StopTheCrime.net, Rinse Radio Network Live, 6 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday. Please join, help, and get the information out far and wide. J.D., again, thank you so much.
It's absolutely my pleasure. And thank you guys for hanging out with us through those 2 hours. I would highly recommend, if you're interested in this legal, lawful nonsense, stay tuned to Roger Sales Show coming up right now on Truth Frequency. And I will see you guys tomorrow.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Report
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye.
Freaky Friday.
With the Woo Crew.
Waking Up the Masses.
With Robert Bruce.
Phoenix Rising Radio.
And dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll free at 866-37-TRUE.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.